With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS. That's the number that gets you on in. 855-212-4227. Could always give me a follow. Shoot me a tweet via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB on our network's account, at CBS Sports Radio. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Very, very, very busy Football Friday show. We'll get you all the usual segments on a Friday. News brief, onsides, offsides, also a little closing bell. And we got a lot to do. Coming up, we're going to be joined today by not one, not two, but three awesome guests before we do say goodbye at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. Coming up at the top of the hour, a three-time slam dunk contest champion, Nate Robinson, is going to stop by. He'll give us all the latest on the Los Angeles Lakers. They got a victory last night. They're now up 3-1 up against the Denver Nuggets. And then in the East, Boston could get eliminated tonight. Miami up 3-1. From their victory on Wednesday. So all Miami has to do is get one more victory. We'll see how many games it does take. We know there's a game five tonight. Will there be a game six? Will there be a game seven? We'll find out. Either way, I don't think either of these teams, and when we take a glance at the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets, are coming on back. I just don't see it. I'm disappointed with Boston. I think they are the better team on paper compared to Miami. But Miami's been able to close games, and Miami has been able to finish, where Boston, as you did see in the first two games of the series, they had enormous leads, and they didn't slam the door shut, and they let Miami back into the game, and Miami was the better team late. So to think with the way that Miami is just built and how gritty they are that they're going to lose three games in a row, I don't see that happening. And then out West, I know everyone's going to make the same joke. I'm sure I've made the same joke as well at some point last night. Oh, here are the Denver Nuggets. They're down 3-1. Just where they like it and just where it is. No one wants to be down 3-1. I get it. They came back against Utah. They came back up against the Clippers. If they do this three times in a row, I'll be absolutely stunned. I just don't see how it's going to happen with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And the only way I potentially saw it happening was late in that game last night. Anthony Davis did go down for a little bit. You thought it was an ankle injury, and he's grimacing in pain. They go to a commercial break, and then he comes back, and it was as if nothing ever happened. So unless if a major injury occurs to LeBron James or Anthony Davis, and even if that does happen, and this is no disrespect to Denver, we all know how good of a basketball team they are with Michael Porter Jr. and with Grant, and then the two guys that they're led by in Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. If we just see even one injury occur where, let's say, Anthony Davis goes down, yes, that could potentially affect the Lakers' chances of winning a championship, and maybe they won't beat Miami. But if it is just in this series, you'd think LeBron would still be able to carry that team to one victory. So I'm already getting set for Heat and Lakers, and that would present a showdown to us where it's not really the stories on the court in terms of the storylines. It's off the court, as you're going to have Eric Spoelstra and also Pat Riley, and I'm sure they'll all play it down, going up against someone that they used to have a part of their organization. You may have heard of him. His name is LeBron James. And I guess that there would be some personal redemption for Eric Spoelstra because LeBron did try to get Spoelstra out of Miami when he was there. I think the bigger story, though, as this is wild, Connor Green, my headsets throughout this whole first segment, if I don't sound like myself, folks, through the first 5 minutes, it's because my headsets keep on going in and out. And randomly there, I've heard nothing for the first 3-4 minutes, and now I hear myself very muffled. So hopefully it sounds okay. But what I was saying with LeBron, the bigger storyline is Pat Riley. Even though Pat doesn't play, it's because when LeBron was there, Pat obviously wanted him to stay. And then supposedly, and Pat denied this, he told LeBron James that you're making the biggest mistake of your career if you leave. And it's obviously worked out for LeBron and all has been right. And supposedly they haven't talked, or allegedly they haven't even talked since LeBron James decided to bolt back to Cleveland and then eventually bolt to LA. So we'll talk a bunch of NBA coming up at the top of the hour with Nate Robinson. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. How about this spot? Drew Bledsoe is going to stop by. Here's what I want to know from Drew Bledsoe. I want his impressions on Cam. Most importantly, though, I want to know if, because of Cam's mobility and the lack of weapons that the Patriots have, does he think Cam gets more out of the offense this year than what Tom Brady would have done if Tom elected to stay in New England? And when we look on the surface, if you listen to the show, you know me, I think Tom is the greatest quarterback of all time. He's my favorite quarterback, my favorite football player of all time. I think it's a fair argument to make because, yes, you can never count out Tom Brady. Sure, Tom, for years and years and years, has won with talent, has also won when the roster has not been great. And you look at what this Patriots offense has been. Would Brady been able to find a way to probably get them to the playoffs? Sure. I still believe even if Brady is there, the AFC East is up for grabs. But with Cam being there, And Cam having the ability to run the football, when you're running backs, no one's really taking the baton and running with it. When you look at Sony Michel, I know James White didn't play last week because of the tragic incident with his family where he lost his father. And I haven't heard anything else about his mother, but his mother was in critical condition. I hope she's doing better. So my apologies if there's been an update there, but I have not seen or heard anything on that. But when you look at the running back room, no one has really taken a baton, whether it was a Rex Burkhead or whether it was a Sony Michel. And in the passing game, let's be real, Julian Edelman's a good wide receiver, not a great wide receiver. N'Keal Harry is still finding his way in this league. I don't know what Bird is. I don't know what Jacoby Myers is. So when you look at the Patriots offense, this has truly really been all on Cam through the air and also with his ability on the ground. And that extra factor of him having wheels and being able to use them effectively, I do think adds an extra element to this Patriots offense and could potentially make this offense better or more explosive than what it would have been with Tom Brady. And I can't believe I just said that into a microphone because you know me, I'm Patriot fan numero uno, I'm Tom Brady fan numero uno. And I still think Tom's going to have a monster season with Tampa Bay. Not having those weapons, though, and being at 43, and even though the offensive line has looked good so far, that offensive line was not good last year. Now you get Wynn back. I know Andrews could be out this week with the thumb injury and is expected not to play, and it looks like he's going to be out this week. But the line has taken an improvement early on through the first 2 weeks, but there's still a long way to go. So if you put Brady in that offense, maybe find some luck second year with N'Keal Harry and they develop that synergy. Also, you know, him and Julian Edelman, they're on the same wavelength as well. With no running game, and I'll still say the offensive line is a question mark, even if they made improvements, there's just not a lot there. And having the ability of Cam, who is probably going to lead the team in rushing, and also his arm was fantastic on Sunday night, because of that mobility, it probably makes it tougher for opposing defenses compared to if you had Tom Brady back there. Not that you underestimate and undermine what Tom Brady has done in this league, but if you get to Brady, there's no escape route. And with not having great weapons, that makes it an offense that probably would not have been as great this year. So I give the edge to Cam this year in terms of, I think Cam gets more out of this Patriots offense than Tom Brady would have. And once again, I'll tap the microphone, testing 1, 2, 3. This thing is on. I probably can't even tell because my headphones still are not working. Now they're out. That's something I didn't think I would say that quickly in. And maybe I look back on it in a few weeks and I say to myself, wow, what a dopey early reaction, you know, crazy take that was early into the season. It's just me being honest in the way that I'm processing it right now. So Drew will join us at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern, we'll do a little NFL picks with Gus Frerotte. Gus Frerotte losing week last week. Zach Gelb winning week. You got to celebrate the victories when you get them. I'm not going to be too cocky about it because then Gus will probably kick my butt over and over again. So that's what we got on tap today. Let's start the show off, though, with a little NFL. And we got a lot of undefeated teams still in play 2 weeks through the season as we turn the page to week three. Let's look at those undefeated teams and let's see which one of those teams are going to go to 3-0 and which one of those teams are going to suffer their first loss of the season and fall to 2-1. And I start things off this is Rams at the Bills. And for the Buffalo Bills, they're 2-0 and the Rams are 2-0 as well. This is a game where I really wish there were some fans in the stands because that's a Buffalo fan base that has been through a lot of miserable, and I mean miserable moments. And I know Buffalo gets a lot of crap, and I know that Buffalo is an easy target. The way that they have built this team, though, it's a very nice job. I'm not telling you Josh Allen is great right now. I'm encouraged with what he did up against Miami. This is, though, a very big early test going up against Aaron Donald, going up against Jalen Ramsey. And remember, it wasn't that long ago when Jalen Ramsey basically took a dump on each and every quarterback in this league, where Jalen Ramsey, I think it was in 2018, he called Josh Allen trash. So this is a moment where we're going to learn a lot about Josh Allen this week. And there's a few tests in the next few weeks when they go up against the Rams this weekend. You also have Tennessee coming up right around the corner and also the Chiefs. And up against the marquee opponents, I want to know how great Buffalo can be. Because right now, the way that I look at Buffalo, I think they win the AFC East. I'm not as convinced as I was that they were going to win the AFC East before the season started because I didn't know what to expect out of Cam. I still would say that if you made me pick one, Buffalo or New England, I would take Buffalo to win the AFC East. But that, to me, right now, is their ceiling. I don't expect much more than that. So when I see Buffalo, these games against the Rams, the Titans, and also the Chiefs, we'll learn, can they take that next step? Can they find that next gear? And I think both these teams are good storylines. I love the way Buffalo was built with McDermott and Bean. They got what they think is their quarterback. They surrounded that quarterback with some talent going out and making the big move for Stephon Diggs. And I know this is an offensive-driven league. That Buffalo defense has been phenomenal ever since Sean McDermott has got to the Bills Mafia and join the Bills family in Orchard Park. So this is a good one. And on the other side, you got the Rams who, let's be real, I know a lot of people are down on the Rams. I was down on the Rams too to open up the season, taking down not only the Cowboys but also Philadelphia. Is a nice job by the LA Rams, and their stock is starting to move back in the right direction where you got Jared Goff, who I'm not a believer in. You got a lot of talent around him, especially with the wide receivers and the tight end had 3 touchdowns last week. And defensively, I know that there wasn't a lot of confidence with this defense. When you have Donald and Ramsey, though, you're going to make some plays. So the McVay show, it's working once again. They're 2-0. And I actually think the Rams go to 3-0 this weekend. I think this game go either way. I think it's a dogfight right down to the end. But I just see the Rams finding a way to make one extra play and make it 24-23. The Rams walk out with the victory. Other 2-0 teams in play. You got the Raiders going up against the Pats. Pats got some injuries here. David Andrews, with this thumb surgery that he got, he's their starting center. He's not expected to go. The Raiders have some injuries as well. I know that Trent Brown is out of the game, the former Patriot offensive lineman now in his second year with the Raiders. Josh Jacobs with the hip is questionable, and that's something to watch because I think Josh Jacobs could have a lot of success on the ground up against New England. And the big story from Monday night, Darren Waller with the knee injury, he is questionable as well. Now, to be clear, I think Jacobs and Waller will play because they did make their first practice appearance of the week today. So that's an encouraging sign. The Raiders are a team that I'm still trying to figure out what they are. They showed up in the second half against the Saints and dominated. They got off to a slow start in the first half. Offensively, their line has taken some hits, but they are a good offensive line. Carr has done a good job on third down. Carr has got off to a good start. No Henry Ruggs this week, so we'll see how that does affect them. This is a game where I think, and maybe I'm dead wrong, maybe some people are extra hot on the Raiders this week coming off Monday night. And with the way that Cam is playing, going up against a defense that's not great, I think this is another game that it's a touchdown game or an even game in the final 2-3 minutes. And the Patriots very rarely lose two games in a row. They lost to Seattle on Sunday night. I'm not bought into the front seven of the Patriots, but Belichick, with not knowing what Carr still is, and Carr's no longer a young quarterback, Belichick usually finds a way to devise a game plan. So I'm not terribly confident with my Pats this week going up against the Raiders. It would not surprise me if the Raiders win. I just have a tough time going with the Raiders over the Pats with the way Cam is playing and having Belichick go up against Derek Carr. I think Belichick finds a way to make a mistake or force Carr into a mistake this week. The defense, and you'll probably have McCourty and really a team effort on defense, because I don't love any of those linebackers trying to stop Darren Waller. So we'll see how they try to contain Darren Waller. If the Raiders are going to want to win, they're going to have to play mistake-free football, and they're really going to have to pound the rock, I think, with Josh Jacobs. Something just tells me, though, New England is going to find a way to get to 2-1, and the Raiders fall to 2-1 as well on this campaign. Other 2-0 teams, Bears 2-0 up against the Falcons. Julio Jones going to be a game-time decision. I can't believe I'm saying this. I love Atlanta this weekend. And I don't know why I love Atlanta, because you got teased by them last week with a big lead up against Dallas and they forgot to recover an onside kick. I just have a feeling that the Falcons offense is going to put up enough points, even if Julio Jones plays or not, that Mitch Trubisky is going to have to throw the ball a bunch. And when you ask Mitch Trubisky to throw the ball a bunch, most of the times there's going to be a few mistakes. So I think Atlanta, even though I have no trust in their defense, they find a way to get a victory this weekend, and the Bears suffer their first loss of the season. Texans at Steelers. Steelers 2-0. Texans are 0-2. This is a game where you just need Deshaun Watson to go win it. Because if you look at it on paper, Steelers have the better defense. I believe in the pieces around Big Ben now more than what they do have in Houston. I like Big Ben with Juju and Deontay Johnson. That's been a nice combination. It's not a great combination, but it's a good combination. And at the running back spot, one week Connor did not do well, banged up. And then the next week he went on out there and had a very big day. I have more belief in the Steelers defense and the Steelers offense, even though I think the world is Deshaun Watson. So Texans continue to have a rough time. Steelers go to 3-0. Tennessee 2-0. They go up against the Vikings 0-2. This is another close, grinded out type of game. Do you trust Ryan Tannehill more than Kirk Cousins? You may, because you don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to show up each and every week. Like, I think Kirk's a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. For Kirk Cousins, though, one week he looks great, and then the next week he has like a 15 quarterback rating. This is a must-win game for the Vikings. You can't start the season out 0-3. I don't love this Tennessee team going into the season, so you know what? Why not? I'll go with Minnesota to get their first victory. And then we get to some of these other 2-0 teams before we take a break. Cowboys at the Seahawks. Seahawks sitting there 2-0. Russ, Dak Prescott. We'll find out a lot about both of these defenses on Sunday and which one can make a stop in a big spot. I think there's a lot of points in this game. And with Russell Wilson, you know he's showing up. With the Dallas offense, I just don't know what to expect. Like, they could play what they did up against the Rams and be disappointing. And then even when they look like they were down and out against Atlanta, come out of nowhere and anchor a comeback. So because of the trust factor I have in Russell Wilson, I would go Seahawks over the Dallas Cowboys. Cardinals also 2-0. They'll go to 3-0. They'll beat up on the Lions this week. Packers at the Saints. There's a lot of injuries in this one. It doesn't look like Michael Thomas is going to play. I don't think Davante Adams is playing in this game as well. So there are some injury concerns with this one. You get Rodgers, you get Breeze. I want to see how Breeze does respond coming off the debacle on Monday night. And yeah, Michael Thomas is officially out Sunday night. And Devontae Adams, according to NFL Update, My Sports Update, Devontae Adams' hamstring is officially listed as doubtful. So it looks like neither of those teams are going to play. So this comes down to maybe who's better between Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara. And that's very close. And when you look at the quarterbacks, I trust Rodgers right now more than Breeze. So I take Rodgers with the Packers going to 3-0 and the Saints. Imagine the Saints falling to 1-2. You could have the Saints be 1-2 this week and the Patriots be 1-2 this week. That's just stuff that you usually don't see if you watch football in the last 5-10 years. And finally, you got the battle of the two Titans, 2-0. Chiefs, 2-0 Ravens. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Until the Ravens take down the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs get a victory this weekend. And here's the difference for me. Even if the Chiefs go down 10 points, I believe Mahomes could anchor a comeback. If the Ravens fall from behind, if the Ravens fall more than a touchdown from behind, even though I really like Lamar Jackson, I think that it's just going to be too much with knowing that Mahomes is just going to keep on going off. But that's a game that if you're a football fan, you wish it's, what, 42 to 35, something along those lines. So 2-0 teams that I like to get victories this week. I like the Rams. I think the Raiders at 2-0 fall to 2-1. I think the Bears at 2-0 fall to 2-1. Steelers go from 2-0 to 3-0. Tennessee 2-0 to 2-1. Seahawks 2-0 to 3-0. Cardinals 2-0 to 3-0. Packers 2-0 to 3-0. And then I will take the Kansas City Chiefs. How about those Chiefs to go from 2-0 to 3-0 as well? Which 2-0 team do you have going to 3-0? Which 2-0 team do you have going to 2-1? Give me a call. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. See what type of mood I'm in when we come on back. No, I'm just kidding. I may throw my headset or do something crazy. Maybe if I throw my headsets, they'll start working. But for some reason here at 345 Hudson Street, we're having a headphone problem right out of the gate.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Is this thing working? Is this microphone on? All right, I hear myself. Connor Green gives me the thumbs up, so I think we're good to go. We had to change a little seat location.
No, I'm out of the power chair, okay? I'm not in the power chair anymore, but, you know, it's my show, so I'm still in control here. After the other microphone and the other headset set up, for some reason, the first segment, I could barely hear myself, and then at random points, just a big loud noise right in my ears, and then it would go away. For a second, I thought my hearing was going, and I'm saying, man, 26 years old and I may need hearing aids? That could be a big time problem. I had a conversation today, Connor, with my grandmother. She called me, and we were having a little chat, and she always goes like, how's the weather? The weather's good. Zach, is the weather okay in New York City? It rained today in Florida. However, whenever I talk to her, I guess I kind of combined my grandmother's voice there and Mark Chernoff's voice, because my grandma, she has like a little bit of an interesting voice, but it's more like, Zachary, how are you, Zachary? That's more how my grandma's voice is, but I went a little Chernoff on you right there. Whenever I talk to her, though, because she's old, she's older, and she listens to the show, and she goes, this is my favorite part. You know, Zachary, I listen to the show, but I have no clue what you're talking about because I'm not a sports fan. But for some reason, because when you get up there in age, and we're still blessed to have her around and going strong, even though she's had a few knee complications, I have to scream into the phone sometime. Well, what did you say? I was maybe talking about basketball. You want meatballs for dinner? No, Grandma. Basketball. I was talking about basketball. The Boston Celtics. They could be eliminated tonight. The Miami Heat. You live in Florida. They could be going to the finals. Finals. That's what I've had to do sometimes on the phone call. But still blessed to have my grandmother here and always great to catch up with her. And if Grandma, if you're listening right now, there we go. We talk about Grandma on a Friday. And you know what Friday is in the
Grandma Lazarus, the Carol Lazarus household, Connor Green. Do you have a guess what she does each and every Friday?
I don't know. What is it?
It's Beauty Parlor Friday. She goes right to the hairdresser. She has some of the best hair I've ever seen. Now I'm just trying to get brownie points. That's what I'm trying to do right now. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a little news brief coming up in a few moments. Scheduled to join us today, Nate Robinson at the top of the hour, Drew Bledsoe, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, and then Gus Frerotte at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. We did go into, in the first segment, 2-0 teams. Which 2-0 teams do we think go to 2-1? Which 2-0 teams fall to 2-1 on this season? And when I look at the matchup, which is the biggest matchup of this weekend, and there's a lot of good games, the matchup that obviously stands out to you is the game on Monday night. And that's the game between the Kansas City Chiefs, 2-0, up against the Ravens that are also 2-0 as well. And I try to think of, who does this game mean more for? And this game means more for the Baltimore Ravens, because the Ravens have played the Chiefs twice. The Chiefs are coming off a Super Bowl victory. I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. This is a statement game for the Ravens. Not that the Ravens really have much to prove in this regular season, because they should win the division, even though Pittsburgh's off to a 2-0 start, and Pittsburgh could get to 3-0 after this weekend going up against the Texans. I would still anticipate the Ravens winning this division. And for the Ravens, like I've been saying, you're not really tested until the postseason, because the last 2 years, you've shown a lot. You've shown that this team is good, and you haven't got it done in the postseason. And really, I'll give them a pass for the first year up against the Chargers. It was really last year where they had the best team in the AFC from a record standpoint, and you got smacked in the first round by Tennessee. So the Ravens are a team where no matter what they do in the regular season, just as long as they're there in the postseason, that's when their season starts. However, when you go through the schedule, this is the game where you could send a message, because of the fact that most people think these are the best two teams in the AFC. Other than that, you see the Ravens' schedule this year. They play Washington. They play the Bengals, the Eagles. Steelers games will be fun. They play the Colts, the Pats, Tennessee. You get the Cowboys, the Browns, the Jags, the Giants, and the Bengals. Really, only other time the Ravens have something to prove this year are the two games up against the Steelers. Other than that, their only real other statement game and their most important game, and I know you probably argue it's the Steelers because it's inside the division, in terms of a national talking point, it's this game up against the Chiefs. So if the Chiefs lose, there's going to be no panic. If the Ravens lose, there's still going to be no panic. But if the Ravens do lose, people are going to say, can this team take down Kansas City when it matters? Because this would be the third time in recent memory where they've gone up against one another. And Kansas City and the Ravens, they've been close game, but Kansas City, they find a way to get the job done. So this game means more for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens than it does for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And the other big game this weekend, there's a bunch of big games this weekend, but the other big game this weekend that I think has the most national interest is Dallas going up against the Seahawks. And this game means more for the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas is 1-1. They could have been, they should have been 0-2, but you take the way that the game does unfold, I got to see this Dallas offense show up and put up a big-time production. There's no excuses. Your defense, front seven-wise, should be good enough this year. You don't need them to be great. Offensively, you got Zeke. Offensively, you got CeeDee Lamb at a good game last week. You got Michael Gallup. You got Amari Cooper. Dak Prescott is a good quarterback in this league. You gotta show me something this Sunday. And it's tough to really, and even though this is me saying the Cowboys win the NFC East, it's tough to believe in Dallas, because whenever there's a big spot, whenever there's a big game, we go into it saying, oh, Dallas is going to show us something, and a lot of times they disappoint. So go show me something in game number 3 with Mike McCarthy pairing up with Dak Prescott and go get the victory. It's just so tough to bet against Russell Wilson right now. And look what he did to Stephon Gilmore last week. Gilmore couldn't have had better coverage on DK Metcalf, and he threw an absolute dime. Even the touchdown to Moore was a perfectly placed throw, even though Moore made a nice catch. For Russ right now, everything's cooking. A lot of the NFL is timing when you play these teams. Could Dallas win the game? Sure. But if you ask me who I expect to win the game, I think it's Seattle. So there you go. I think this game means more for Lamar Jackson. I think this game means more for Dak Prescott. And I did take the Chiefs and also Seattle to walk away with victories. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout. When we do come on back, we'll update you on all the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call it the News Brief. But first up with the latest CBS Sports update, here is Rich Ackerman telling everything you need to know.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's rock and roll. We'll tell you everything you need to know. Last night, LeBron James and the LA Lakers took a 3-1 lead. And a big moment in the game was LeBron James saying, "I had enough of Jamal Murray. Let me go guard him myself." This is LeBron James in deciding to cover Jamal Murray.
I know it was winning time, and Jamal had it going. The kid is special. He has an array of shots, the triple threat, from the three, from the mid-range, and also in the paint.
That shows you LeBron James saying, "All right, it's closing time. You know, this guy is really good. He's annoying me. He's making this more of a series than what it should be, so let me go guard him." I like that from LeBron James. I really do. You remember second round of the playoffs, I think it was Giannis up against the Heat, where I forget which game it was, but a reporter asked Giannis after the game, "Why aren't you guarding Jimmy Butler?" And Giannis said, "Why would you even ask that?" "Well, you're the defensive player of the year. You're a two-time MVP. In those moments, maybe you should go guard him." And maybe Coach Bud should have done that as well. Little difference there. And, hey, I still think Giannis will win a championship in this league. Little difference between LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo when you see those sorts of situations play on out. How about the Miami Dolphins last night? Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. If you listen to this show right now, you would think, this guy says he's a Patriot fan? He's saying the Bills are going to win the AFC East and then sings that song. Well, it is a national radio program, so I got to play to all of our audience. And I got to go all around the country. That Miami Dolphins song, it just gets stuck in my head. I had a friend growing up. We would call him Shaq. He was always taller than us, basketball player. His name was Justin. His real name was Justin. In my phone, though, it saved as Shaq because that's what I always call him. And he was from Miami, and that's the song he would always sing when we were at sleepaway camp. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. I think it's they move the ball from goal to goal. Go marching 1, 2, 3? Could be right. You know me, though. I'm not very good on lyrics, though. And my singing voice is not that great as well, even though Michelle Tafoya tells me I got great intonation for bum bum bada bum bum bada 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 bum 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 bada bum 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 bada da 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 da. I got a feeling I'm going to get a note from Chernoff, Connor, where Chernoff's going to go, "Zach, you think the Sunday night football stuff is good. You just got to stop doing that." Anyway, Miami gets a victory. Ryan Fitzmagic, Fitzpatrick plays well. Robinson was a good story for the Jags. Minshew, not so hot. Minshew cost the over from hitting, by the way. He threw a pick late when that team was driving and it would have covered the over. It was not good. Not good. $15 right down the drain. But let's hear from the man of the hour last night, Ryan Fitzpatrick, on how he just loves playing football.
"I feel like the luckiest guy in the world sometimes, getting to go outside and play football with my friends. And, you know, I think you can see it. Mike's in the room right now, but every time Mike scores a touchdown or makes a catch, the look on his face is like he's never caught a ball before. And it's fun for us to go out there and run around a little bit."
Assuming he's talking about Mike Gesicki. I guess Ryan Fitzpatrick, Connor Green, has a lot of friends. Because he's been on a lot of teams. He made it seem as if he was on Miami for 7 years. He made it seem as if he was like Brady with the Pats. Why wouldn't I keep on doing this when Brady was still in New England? I get to do something I love. I get to play with all my friends. For Fitzpatrick, it's not like you've been there for years and years and years. But that dude, he is addicted to football. And when after he scored last night, he gave out one of those Hulkian screams. That was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, he plays like a little kid, and that little comment was like just a little kid going out and playing football with my friends. I just want to go out there with my buddies. He's not concerned about the pressure. He's been to so many different teams and situations. He just wants to go out, throw the football around. He does that. He makes it look fun. He has fun, and he's been playing well.
He is example little Johnny growing up as a kid, where it's, "Man, I just love to be here. I'm so excited. We're in the third grade. Oh, we get recess? Even though I was the last pick, I get to play a little kickball? That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Rams, Bengals, Bills, Tennessee, Houston, Jets, Buccaneers, Dolphins. Those are all the stops that he has been on since he entered the league in 2005. Last night, Fitzmagic, 18 of 20, 160 yards, two tutties. Through the air, also rushing touchdown on the ground, 38 yards on the ground as well. How about old man Fitzpatrick showing a little wheels last night? You got to love that.
He's running over linebackers, and people forget, like, he was their leading rusher last year. Ryan Fitzpatrick was the Dolphins' leading rusher. Just like he's running over linebackers.
He's crazy. There's some guys that are just wired for football. And when you hear a guy goes to Harvard, you're not thinking he's going to look like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not that you can't go to Harvard and then play in the NFL. When I think of a Harvard student, I'm not thinking of this guy with a beard and a guy that looks like a regular Joe. I'm thinking of someone that's a little pompous, a little erudite. Oh, you know, here we are. I'm at Harvard and all that, blah, blah, blah. Fitzpatrick seems like a regular Joe, a dad who has a regular job that goes to his son's intramural game. That's what Ryan Fitzpatrick reminds me of. Next up, Billy Donovan. He's now the new head man. It's up to him to try to get the Chicago Bulls back in the right direction. Here is Billy Donovan as he shares his first statement as the head coach of the Chicago Bulls.
I am honored, you know, and excited to be part of the Bulls organization. I, you know, first want to thank Michael and Jerry Reinsdorf for all their time in the, you know, the time that we got a chance really to spend really good quality time together talking. It was very, very informative and have heard nothing but great things about them.
I'm still surprised he did go there. You got some young players on that roster. You know how to develop talent going back to Florida. We saw what you're able to get out of OKC. You could have taken this year off, not saying that he wanted to, and maybe you could have got a better job next year, or you could have taken a good job this year. Maybe he doesn't think Philadelphia ever turns it around. Maybe he doesn't think Houston ever turns it around. So, Pelicans, though, if you're developing talent, and who knows if the Pelicans want him or not, I would imagine the Pelicans would. Wouldn't you rather take the Pelicans job than compared to the Bulls job? Maybe there was something that just appealed to him. This is a legendary franchise, and they've been bad for a long time. If I could be the savior, why not? And you remember Theo Epstein. A lot of people thought he was crazy to leave the Red Sox. He goes to Chicago. What does he do? He wins a championship. And now people advocate for Theo Epstein to be the next commissioner of baseball. And probably be better Theo Epstein as the commissioner of baseball than my good pal, and I mean my dear friend and my beloved friend, Rob Manfraud Manfred. Next up, we take a stop in NOLA. Who dat say they're going to beat them Saints? Drew Brees struggled. Yikes. Really bad up against the Raiders. They're 1-1. Brees, Rodgers, big showdown coming up on Sunday. Here is Drew Brees on his and Aaron Rodgers' quest to win another Super Bowl.
We've each been to one, and we've each won one, right? So, and we've had probably some heartbreaking moments in the playoffs, you know, both teams. But, you know, regardless, listen, you know, each season is a new season, and each team is a new team. And you're going to face your fair share of challenges. Obviously, they've had a ton of success, just like we have. Lots of playoff appearances, lots of playoff wins. And again, you know, just those challenges that we've all faced in order to try to get to the ultimate prize.
Rodgers still has a lot of football left in him. And I know with Brady playing until he's 43, Brees, I think, is 41. People start to just expect quarterbacks to play into their 40s. It always doesn't happen. I still believe Rodgers has a lot of good football left in him. For Brees, it seems like this is time. And we've seen some signs throughout the years. Even when they got to that NFC Championship game where they should have won, he threw a pick in overtime. Last year didn't play well towards the end of the season. And, you know, up against the Vikings in that playoff game. Still in the playoffs. Still doing well. There's a difference, though, from doing well and doing great and doing what's expected of you to win a Super Bowl. So with Drew, I still think the Saints team's going to be a playoff team. I still think they could win the division, even though I picked Tampa going into the year. They're going to be there Do I think they'll win 3-4 games and take home the Lombardi Trophy? No, I don't. And not having Michael Thomas 2 games in a row is a big loss for that football team. For Rodgers, though, on the other side, you know that the end is near for him in Green Bay, you would think. Right? You take Love in the first round, that suggests that they're going to play him, you know, not right away, but in the next 2, 3, 4 years. Is there a point, though, where the Packers say, what's going on right now? We messed up. And let me tell you, we'll trade Jordan Love. I guess, but I would still think that Love's going to see the field within the next 2 to 4 years. So Rodgers will have life, you would think, on another team. And if he gets his choice and if he gets the pick, goes right to a Super Bowl contender, right back in the mix. But he's in the mix this year. Now, I know I was a big believer of Green Bay. I thought they win the division and didn't expect anything else. But the way the NFC's shaping out through the first 2 weeks, that team is in it. That team is in it. And without having Devontae Adams this week, we'll see how they look with Marquez Valdez-Scantling and also Alan Lazard not getting a receiver in the draft or not going on out and getting a receiver in free agency. Will that come back to hurt the Packers? And I know that Drew talked about just terrible moments in the postseason. The 2 that stand out, I guess you say the NFC Championship game is the 1 for the Saints. I know Minneapolis Miracle is up there. And then for Rodgers, it's just the way that that team choked up that game against Seattle. And we would have got a Brady-Rodgers Super Bowl. Instead, we got Russ and Tom Brady. But that wasn't the same way we looked at Russell Wilson compared to the way that we look at Russell Wilson right now. That's the News Brief. Zach Gilp Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. And I know there are some national radio hosts, Colin Cowherd, who I like Colin. They don't like when people wear backward hats. I am wearing a backwards hat today. So hopefully you think I'm professional, even though I'm very unprofessional. If you listen to the show, we just like to have fun, make some jokes, have some laughs. So I put a little video out there on my Twitter at Zach Gill, poking fun at Colin Cowherd for going after Carson Wentz. Yeah, because that's the reason Carson Wentz isn't playing great. It's because he wears a backwards hat. And then people, I think they just don't get the joke and the shtick of it. I don't believe Colin seriously believes this backward hat take. He just knows that will ruffle some feathers and get underneath some people's skin. Let Carson Wentz wear whatever he wants. He's got to play better. He could wear no hat, hat sideways, hat backwards. You start playing better, people will start respecting you once again. Nate Robinson next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.